NYPD Chief Joseph Esposito wrapped up his testimony this week in the stop-and-frisk trial, Floyd versus City of New York. Esposito was the highest-ranking member of the NYPD until he retired 2 weeks ago after more than 40 years on the job and more than a decade as chief. Each week he ran ComStat meetings where he called in precinct commanders to discuss crime patterns and numbers, the number of stops and collars in various precincts. The chief said repeatedly that he relies on supervisors to ensure that officers comply with NYPD regulations, but conceded that the department has about 10% of bad apples, as he called approximately 3,500 officers who are slackers, who negatively influence other officers, and who are capable of writing bad 350s, filling out the forms officers use to document stops incorrectly. He said these officers are malcontents. They will do as little as possible no matter how well you treat them. He compared them with 10% who do great jobs, no matter how bad you treat them. As he testified previously, Chief Esposito said NYPD officers make quality stops, stops based on reasonable suspicion. When asked by city lawyer Heidi Grossman whether stop and frisk was a form of racial profiling, Esposito said, "Of course not." Under redirect by the Center for Constitutional Rights attorney Jonathan Moore, Esposito said he hasn't heard complaints of racial profiling in stop and frisks by community members. The judge, Shira Scheinlin, was surprised. "You never heard of racial profiling? Don't you get complaints about racial profiling?" she asked. "No," said Chief Esposito. "You never heard complaints about racial profiling?" "No, not from residents," said the chief. "From groups like New York Civil Liberties Union or the Al Sharpton Group, from elected officials, but not from community people. They complain about being stopped, how they were stopped, why they were stopped." "Don't you get complaints from residents, from public housing?" the judge asked. Sounds of incredulity came from NYCHA residents who packed the courthouse. The chief said, "The complaint we get on the street is that I don't know why I was stopped, but not about racial profiling. This is despite figures which show that 88% of people who have been stopped and frisked are Black or Latino, and 90% of those stops are innocent of committing any crime." Outside the courthouse, Larry Rushing, at the trial most days, stared at a sculpture of Justice. "She looks unhappy," Rushing said. What did he think of the testimony?
The chief of department, Esposito, his testimony seems to indicate a lack of concern for what goes on in the streets and a lack of concern with enforcing the proper justice of his police officers when it comes to racial profiling, basically. He had a hands-off approach.
Another puzzling testimony came from Officer White, the rookie who stopped and cuffed Dominique Sindigaganza near Union Square. During White's testimony, he changed details about the stop twice. When asked if he met with the city's council between the time of his deposition and now, Officer White said yes.
"No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!"
NYCHA, New York City Housing Authority, residents held a rally in support of the stop-and-frisk trial. They say the tactic takes an emotional toll on residents and threatens them with eviction. Kyler Cohens lives in Ingersoll Public Housing in Brooklyn, one of the city's oldest housing complexes with 1,000 units. He says stop-and-frisk criminalizes a segment of the population which has no business being criminalized.
"In New York City Housing Authority, not only does it criminalize a people, but it also acts as a fact of displacement for the people. So once you start to get those warrants, then you're able to be displaced from public housing. So we're asking that the federal government uphold the rights of the people, low-income people, and keep us from being displaced from public housing."
"So now, because we like to scream and make noise, right? So here goes another chant. And it goes, our children play in the streets. We want fair police. So I'm going to say our children play in the streets. And you're going to say what?
We want fair police.
Our children play in the
a
streets.
A justice advocate, Danette Chavez, who lives in a Lower East Side NYCHA complex, says stop and frisk is not only illegal, it not only racially profiles an entire population, but because of quotas, It pits officer against officer and does nothing to deter crime.
I've seen young men, black males, 15 to 20 years old, rounded up, lined up against walls, and had their pockets searched, you know, ID and identification required for them, you know, for no reason whatsoever, just for the simple fact that they were there. You know, I've seen police officers follow people into their building just to prove that they live where they say they live. I had one young lady that said that an officer went with her to her apartment, and even after her mother had verified, this is my daughter, she lives here, they wanted to see the lease. Okay, total outrageous behavior. A police officer already has authority. He has a gun, he has a badge, he has the department and the state backing him. When you give him carte blanche to enforce policies, irregardless to law, you're creating a monster that you will not even be able to pull back. I wonder, even if the courts say stops and frisks should stop altogether, I wonder if the damage hasn't already been done.
Stop and frisk goes beyond the person stopped, says Deidre Chatham. She says when a black man is stopped, it doesn't just affect him.
It's a family thing it impacts. You know, you have people getting stop and frisk on public housing grounds. You get stop and frisk, it goes to management. Management wants to know why you got stop and frisk on their ground for trespassing or whatever excuse they give. And you have to be called in. Now your tenancy is at risk. It's ridiculous. My mom lives in public housing. I don't walk. I go in the hallway. I don't want to go in the hallway to throw the trash out with that ID on my pocket because they're always standing there. And they do. They stop and they say, what are you doing? I'm in slippers and pajamas. What do you think I'm doing? With a garbage can. Oh, well, hurry up. You know, I support the policing, but the harassment is ridiculous and it needs to stop. They want communities to work with them. Then they have to start working with communities and build some relationship.
Marquise Jenkins, who lives in NYCHA housing, says stop and frisk is a huge problem within public housing. That's why he came out to watch the trial.
The lawyers in the case have done an amazing job questioning the witnesses on the stand and really making a case for this case. And I think overall, I think it's put the city on a defensive. And it seems to me, from what I've heard in the case, there's been a lot of sort of defensive responses as opposed to proactive responses into how we're going to change this and what can be done to make it more constitutional to keep people safe in their own homes.
The stop and frisk trial continues in federal district court on Monday, April 15th, 500 Pearl Street, courtroom 15C in Lower Manhattan. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.